Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This is CBS Eye of the World. I'm John Batchelor. The German elections, Sunday, February 23rd. I welcome Judy Dempsey, senior scholar for Carnegie Endowment for International Peace in Berlin. Judy has helped me understand the EU these last years. Now I must apply what I've learned to the German elections. And it's a challenge until I recognize there's a deal of showmanship going on underneath the what is expected to be a recognizable repeat of the past, back to the future. The CDU back in power is expected. However, Judy, a very good day to you. I've been reading about the elections this last week, and the major voices to listen to are Friedrich Merz, leading the Christian Democratic Union, that's Angela Merkel's party, the man named Olaf Scholz, who is now chancellor, leading the socialist party, the man named Robert Habeck leading the Greens, and outsider coming inside is Alice Weidel, lead at 46, the youngest of the candidates for chancellor, leading a group, AfD, that begins in East Germany but is now a constant conversation piece because of the polling showing that it's in second place. Alice Weidel is the critical player there, and we'll come to her for a moment. Overall, though, how would you characterize the German election now? Is this answering the questions that have been raised, or are they off on tangents? Good evening to you.
Hey, good evening, John, and thank you as ever for having me on your great show. Well, they're not dealing with the issues because they recognize that the German population is generally risk adverse, at least the older generation. And these elections are geared towards the older generation and not the younger generation who have to fork out so much in the future for the growing demographic crisis here. But this election is lackluster. It's ignoring the huge economic crisis facing Germany. It's ignoring the lack of competitiveness of Germany. It's ignoring how Germany is not being able to deal with the modern economy and its infrastructure and artificial intelligence and deal with China and, of course, the Trump administration, not to mention Russia. So this is a very inward German election, with the exception that they have to deal with migration, which is a big issue when it comes to the alternative for Germany, which is led by Alice Weidel.
This is a parliamentary-like election for the Bundestag, and the chancellor will lead what is expected to be a coalition, as Olaf Scholz leads a coalition. They called it a traffic light coalition because they assign colors to these parties. Green is obvious. Red, yellow, blue, white are not obvious. In any event, the expectation is that there'll be another coalition, and the question is who's in the coalition and how does that influence the Bundestag? I want to start with Olaf Scholz, the present chancellor. He is attacking Friedrich Merz boldly, directly, something I didn't expect to hear from Olaf Scholz, a man who's going after Friedrich Merz's success in the commercial world. Is that does that represent a man who's defending the apparatus, the status quo? Is that the attack at Friedrich Merz? Because attacking somebody as a capitalist in America would be a plus, not a negative.
Well, it hasn't got that much traction, actually. Scholz has to go on the attack. And actually, he's better not as a chancellor, but as a campaigner, which is why he got elected 4 years ago. He's not so bad out in the countryside. But his record as nearly 4 years of this traffic light coalition has been a complete disaster. He gave no leadership. He couldn't manage the different ideological views of the Greens and of the pro-business liberal Democrats, freedom Democrats, and his own. And it's a disaster. And now he's trying to sell that he could make he's in for the running again. Unfortunately, he may be in for the running again in the sense that he could be the junior partner in a coalition led by Friedrich Merz. And here we are, back to the past, not to the future, because under Angela Merkel, there was three coalitions under Angela Merkel's four terms in office that were led by the Christian Democrats, she was the leader, and the Social Democrats, in which Scholz played a major role. And nothing got done in terms of reform, in terms of moving Germany ahead and above all on giving Germany the leadership that is so sorely needed now in the European Union.
As I understand it, the major stories are what is to be done with the economy, sometimes called deindustrialization, and demonstrated by the breakup of Volkswagen, the long-standing, since before the Second War, long-standing enterprise that employed so many people and was a dominant factor in German success. That failure was the illustration of how Germany has committed itself to what worked in the 20th century, not worked in the 21st. So, the economy. Migrants have become a major issue, although I can't say that I'm certain it's a major issue for everyone. Friedrich Merz recently associated himself with AfD on the question of migration in a vote in the Bundestag. That's where he drew a lot of attention for compromise. Olaf Scholz, does he speak of migration or the migrants?
He speaks of migration, but it's an old-fashioned way of doing it. Hmm. If he's serious about migration, you have to be honest and explain to the public why migration is important. It's important for jobs. It's important for the labor shortage. It's important for demographic reasons. It's important for humane reasons. That's one element. The other element is, if you're going to have a migration policy, be clear about it and deal with the bureaucracy there's a slow way of dealing with asylum applications, the way the judges sit on court cases for those who are here illegally. And this gives asylum seekers a very, very bad name, and refugees and migrants. And the whole thing needs a huge overhaul, which would benefit the society. But these issues aren't raised at all. And as for the economic issues, nobody wants to mention the dirty word deindustrialization, because this means actually that the auto industry, the chemicals industry, the heavy energy intensive industries, they're anachronistic now, but nobody wants to mention it. Instead, Scholz's campaign is spend, 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 more for you, better for Germany. So give everybody more subsidies and more tax breaks.
We go immediately to Alice Weidel, formerly working for Goldman Sachs and several financial firms, a specialist in Chinese pension system, speaks Mandarin, lives in Switzerland with a Sri Lankan filmmaker, female, civil marriage, doesn't live in Germany, I note detail, and has joined the AfD from the beginning, 2013, I believe, and uses the word remigration, which may mean not just the generation that came from Syria and the Middle East in these last 10 years, but going back second or third generation. It can be very severe. Alice Weidel appearing every night in a black suit, pantsuit, white shirt, and pearls. A very attractive, well-spoken woman, as I understand. I don't have the German, so I can't tell. In any event, entirely new to the scene of politics and polling second place. Is that a surprise to you, Judy?
I'm very ambiguous about it. She's unbelievably articulate, and she doesn't mince her words. She has become more radical over the past couple of months to shore up the support of her party, the AfD. But she's tapped into something in Germany, and it's just not related to Eastern Germany. People can always say, oh, those East Germans are pro-Russian and they're anti-NATO and they're anti-US and they're pro-AfD. Actually, she's tapping into West German towns who've been depopulated, or the industry have just run out of gas, in the sense of there's no work there anymore. She's tapping into something, and her openness has a resonance, and the contenders of the status quo parties actually don't challenge her head on, which is a pity, actually, because it would be really interesting to hear Friedrich Merz and Olaf Scholz really speak openly about what the AfD represents. This election, in some ways, is about the past. And does Germany really want to use the language of the past to make it fit for the future? And the past doesn't get a mention in this. The Holocaust, the Second World War, what Germany did after 1945, how it came up from the ruins thanks to American support. It's a very, very disappointing election because it's ignoring the truth.
Donald Trump is going to be on the other side of the election, no matter who is in the coalition. Is there one opinion of Donald Trump and the tariffs and the trade war that is underway, according to the FT?
Oh, yes. This is a huge issue. It's going to hurt German industry, especially the car industry, chemical industry. It's going to hurt other countries as well. And all the more reason why whoever is elected Chancellor of Germany actually not only becomes the Chancellor of Germany, but actually assumes a leadership for the European Union. German leadership in the European Union has been sorely lacking, and it's needed more than ever and urgently now, given what Trump is doing. We need, and the European Union needs a united leadership on how to deal with one voice on Trump. Unfortunately, President Trump has a way of dividing allies, playing off one against the other. All the more reason that Germany, given its economic clout, can rally all the 27 members around and say, this is what we have to do to protect our economy and to make our economy strong and resilient, given what's happening in the United States.
Where is AfD drawing its vote? Who is moving from the previous column to AfD? Is it CDU? Is it the Greens? Where do those people come from?
It fluctuates. Sometimes it's the CDU and they move over to the AfD. It's not so much the Social Democrats, because the old Linke party, which was nearly dead, has been revived. It's maybe some of the Free Liberal Democrats. It's a mixture of so many things. But at the end of the day, the AfD represents a worried population who feel they are marginalized, who feel they are mocked, who feel that their concerns about migration are not taken seriously, who feel that their concerns about the economic situation are not really getting any kind of resonance. It's a protest party. But Alice Weidel is determined, it seems, to actually translate this protest party into a serious political party after February 23rd, when these elections are held. We will have to see how whoever gets the largest party, how they're going to deal with the AfD.
I mentioned, Judy, because I've seen this happen in election run-ups before. Recently, it happened in Ecuador. The presumption is one party in power will retain the authority on the other side of the election, though it will be closer than we expect. And then all of a sudden there's a surprise. And the surprise is the challenger closes on the leading party and there's to be a runoff or everybody's shocked and amazed. Is that possible here? Can those polls close in the, there are 2 weeks to go, so that it's CDU 26, AfD 25. Is that possible?
Ooh. We don't know. Mm-hmm. And there's an important point to make, that we don't know if those who are asked are telling the truth. And opinion polls have got it generally wrong in several countries of the European Union. At the end of the day, my gut instinct is that the AfD might not do as well as the polls suggest. The German public will go for the established parties because they are there and they've been part of the political scene. But this could be completely upended because of the chaos of the outgoing coalition government, and actually because of the trends taking place across the democratic West and in the European Union. The rise of these far right-wing parties, anti. I would like to know what they really stand for.
There's one more issue in the election. Say it's on the ballot. It's Russia when we come back. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.